The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Text 15 to 18, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on February 7, 1993, in New Vrindavan, United States.
Yastutamashlokagunanuvadha sangiyate vikshnama mangalam gna thameva nityam srinuyada vikshnam krishne malam bhakti madhispamana. The persons who desire pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. Purport. Since any topic related to Lord Krishna is auspicious and transcendental, the direct narration of Lord Krishna's own activities, political and non-political, is certainly the supreme subject matter for hearing. The word nityam here indicates regulated cultivation of the topics of Lord Krishna, and avikshnam indicates constant remembrance of such regulated spiritual experiences.
Nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhagavati naisha. Srimad Bhagavatam describes in one of the most essential of all of its verses the simple and sublime path of perfection on this path of devotional service, and that is to regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the holy scripture of the Lord, and render service to the Lord's devotees who are propagating this message. This must be done on a regular basis. And by doing so, we attract the supreme mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who reciprocates by cleansing from within the heart everything that is inauspicious in our life. Atapumbir vijasreshtas varnashrama vibhagasya svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. But on this path of bhakti, our supreme and ultimate goal of life is simply to please Krishna in whatever we do. Because we have that faith, we have that wisdom to know that the impurities, the anartas, or unwanted accumulations of material desires that are plaguing our heart are literally impossible to vanquish, to cleanse. It is like a sparrow trying to dry up the ocean. You know, there is that beautiful story about when the ocean washed away the eggs of the mother sparrow, and she made a determined vow that unless my eggs are returned, I will dry up this ocean. So although the mouth of the sparrow is quite small, and the ocean is virtually unlimited in comparison, regularly, every day, the sparrow simply picked up one drop and took it to another place. And she took another drop, and another drop, and another drop. And to the eyes of the creatures of this world, it appears that her efforts were futile, but she attracted the attention of Garuda, that celestial bird who is the carrier of Vishnu himself. And seeing that determination, he himself appeared on the scene to take the work of drying the ocean. At that time, the ocean, taking this very seriously, understood the power of Garuda and returned the egg. So by regularly, with great determination and regularity, trying to please the Lord, Krishna will take the work from within of cleansing this great ocean of material desires that is now causing us so much difficulty in our life. We do not even know, we are not even conscious of what type of material desires, what type of inappropriate conditions of pride and ego and lust and greed and illusion and anger are dormant within our heart. Our consciousness is like an ocean. Our material desires and attachments are like the various aquatics of that ocean. And we are only able to perceive what comes to the surface. We are not possibly aware of what is underneath. Sometimes you are sitting on the shore of the ocean and you see the dolphin going like this. And you say, ah, look, dolphin, how nice. Or sometimes you see shark going like this. Or sometimes in shallow water, you see some fish close to the surface. That's all you see. But how many aquatic animals are in that ocean that you cannot see? Every now and then, they come to your perception. They rise to the top. In the same way, our consciousness is compared like an ocean. And every now and then, a desire or an attachment comes to the surface, and we perceive it, and we think, oh my God, I have lust. Oh, look, actually I'm an angry person. I've become angry. Or, ah, greed. I'm acting proud. I'm an illusion. We think like this. But then when the dolphin of this desire goes back down, we think, oh, you see, the lust is gone. Not gone, just gone back in. It's come to the surface and gone back. But how many billions and trillions of such desires and attachments are there? We do not even know. When we start taking the spiritual life, all of these aquatics, all of these desires start coming to the top. And sometimes we think, my God, I'm taking to spiritual life. And this is worse than before. It's like when the fisherman takes his net. All of a sudden, you get some glimpse of what's down there to get it out. So similarly, when we start to engage in devotional practices, it's like a net. And all of these material desires and attachments start coming out. And when they come out, it's very ugly. Because we're dealing with something that's there that we've never seen before. So therefore, the first and foremost consideration in all of our lives is how to clean our consciousness, how to purify our mind. This is the process given. Nasta prayasya bhadresya nityam bhagavati seva. Shukadeva Goswami is describing in today's verse that by regularly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, this will cleanse our consciousness. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that in this world, to try to maintain a spiritual or a devotional state of consciousness is very, very difficult. Because the propaganda of the illusory energy is so strong, so overwhelming, that moment after moment after moment, There are unlimited devices that are trying to drag our consciousness away from the goal, away from God. Everywhere you go, everything you see, everything you hear, everything you smell, practically everything you taste in this whole society is very, very specially, deliberately intended to drag your consciousness away from God, away from the truth. This is what modern society is made of. You go to the city, you even go to the village in the country, and to one extreme or another, every sensual perception that comes into your life is trying to drag your consciousness through your senses to this external world, either to attach or to create an aversion. But attraction and aversion are two different sides of the same coin. They both perpetuate the bodily conception of life. The illusion that I am this body, and through these senses and through this mind, I am the enjoyer. And we are constantly being exploited. And we are so foolish, we do not even recognize it. And we are constantly being conditioned to be an exploiter. And we do not even know what's happening. We're just being dragged by the objects of the senses, being dragged by the modes of material nature. And we think that we are independently doing as we like. So how is it possible in this age of Kali Yuga to maintain spiritual strength throughout the day, every day, when the all-powerful force of the illusory energy of Maya is constantly sending her forces, her almighty forces, to drag our consciousness away from truth? Kaviraj Goswami explains, just like a man in this world has to go to work every day, or a woman in this world has to do her duties every day, unless they sufficiently eat food grains or whatever food they are having, they will not have the strength. They will become weaker and weaker and weaker. Somehow or other, every one of us manages to find the time to eat every day because we know we need strength to do whatever we have to do. All of our children, if they want to go to school and study, they know they have to eat to have strength to study. If we want to attain some money in this world, we know we have to eat to get the strength to earn. Which one of us here, who, anywhere in society, has so many priorities that they do not have time to sit down and eat food? No one. But food only nourishes this illusory, temporary body, which is necessary, because we have this body and we have to utilize it for something. But it is described by Shukadeva Goswami. It is described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names is the food that gives us strength spiritually. It is the absolute necessity that if you are not every day hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, every day chanting the holy names of the Lord and the association of devotees, if we are not doing this, we can know for sure that spiritually we will be starving. Spiritually, we will become weak. And naturally and inevitably, we will be pushed and conquered and defeated throughout the day by this illusory energy and by the propagandic forces of Maya. There's no doubt. If a person's asked, one time they asked Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Why is your determination so weak? Maya's strength is in proportion to how we are unwilling to nourish ourselves every day and have the strength to perform our duties and be strong and be able to resist the temptations of this world. You cannot resist the temptations of this world, subtle or gross, unless you have spiritual strength. And spiritual strength comes by every day hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the path that our Guru Parampara has given. And every day coming together to chant the holy names. And actually, if we are having a great spiritual deficiency, we can understand it is because we are deficient in this. Like building a house, you can work so hard, putting so many wonderful structural steel or wood or brick to build the superstructure of the house. And then you could put so many decorative designs. In the Bible, Lord Jesus says, if you build your house on sand, however that house appears to the eyes of men, when the first storm comes, the whole house will be blown down. But if you build that house on rock, it will be permanent and nothing can harm it. Here at New Vrindavan, we have done so much construction, we know the first and foremost consideration is the foundation. Without a strong foundation, nothing has any permanence. Nothing has longevity, whatever you do. The fact is, however great we may be doing our service, whether we are pujaris, whether we are priests, whether we are cooks, whether we are managers, construction workers, teachers, if we are not regularly, every day, fortifying our foundation by hearing and chanting, then when the storms of Maya come into our life, everything's going to fall. How difficult, what a struggle it is. We need that strength. It is an absolute necessity. Like inoculation. When you are going into a diseased area, you have to take regular inoculations, otherwise you will definitely be infected by the disease. The world that we're living in is a diseased place. Pride and anger and lust and greed and envy and illusion, these are the symptoms of that disease, and they are all pervading within society, everywhere. And yet we are asked to live within this world and to try to help free people, cure people of this disease. But if you do not take your regular inoculations, you will simply become the diseased. And that regular inoculation is every day. Rupa Goswami explains this is the most important principle associating with devotees and every day hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name. We must take this principle seriously. The spiritual master is like a physician. He knows that hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is the medicine that we take. And when the physician gives medicine, we don't take this medicine whimsically. It will not have the effect. It is not that they give you some very powerful medicine and tell you, whenever you like, you just take it. It's all right. Whenever you feel like it, you take. It says you take 2 tablets a day, 3 times every day. And if you want that medicine to have effect, you must take it regularly. The method is the name of God. The message is the Word of God. And that message must be taken every day. Therefore, all of the acharyas in our Guru Parampara and all of the scriptures tell us how important it is to come to the temple every single day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you're not doing it, you will not survive consciously against this war of Maya. You will be inflicted by the disease of material attachments and desires. Not three times a week, not four times a week, not once or twice a month, every day. The Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, they are not stressing that we must come every day simply because they like to see crowds of people. They are stressing every day because it is the ultimate necessity of your spiritual survival and growth to come every day. And if we do not take it serious, that means our discrimination is already being defeated by the material energy. Before you go on the battlefield, you have to train every day. Otherwise, if they go in the arena, they will simply be destroyed. When you want to attain liberation in devotion to God, you are declaring war against Maya. Therefore, it is described that this is the formula that has been given throughout the ages to all of us. And if we want this community to be strong, it can only be strong on the basis of each individual being strong. Just like an engine. If any part of that engine is weak, the whole engine begins to break down. Does it not? Even if it's a small part. In this community, every devotee is a part. And to the degree every part is strong, to that degree the community is strong. And to the degree we neglect the proper process which gives us strength and spiritual vitality, to that degree we are creating the breakdown of the entire spiritual consciousness of the community. Therefore, we must understand why there is so much emphasis that every day we must come not to just sit and sleep in class, but we must hear. It is not something material that we check in and we get our credit and we check out. We must come every day. We must hear every day. If we are not hearing every day, we are in a diseased condition. We are weak and we will be a victim of illusion. Not maybe. 100%, whether we know it or not, on a subtle level, you are being destroyed. This is not our opinion. This is the word of Shukadeva Goswami. This is the word of Kaviraj Goswami. This is the word of our Gurudev. This is the word of God. The spiritual master's mercy is to somehow or other save us, and that begins by convincing us to come every day to hear Srimad Bhagavatam attentively with open ears, open heart, and to chant the holy names of Krishna. And if we simply make that determined endeavor, Krishna promises that from within the heart, he will take the responsibility to cleanse all of these weaknesses and anartas, unwanted desires within the heart. This is the basis. Whatever else we do in this community, if the sadhana is not strong, it's like we are just building a massive temple on a weak foundation. It will all fall. And we will all fall. Therefore, coming to the temple every day and hearing attentively Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names is the most basic, essential principle for our spiritual survival, individually and collectively. Coming every day for the kirtan of the holy name is the most essential principle for our survival. This is what all of the shastras, practically every chapter of every scripture, is telling us. Why don't we take it seriously? Why are we so blind? Why are we so callous? Why are we so lazy? Do you know what a brutal enemy it is
to have laziness in a battlefield? If you're in a battlefield and you're lazy, you're dead. Krishna tells Arjuna, give up egoism and lethargy, the two worst enemy for a spiritual aspirant. Egoism means, I know what's best. I am very advanced. I am very good. I deserve credit. Humility and a desire to serve, to be submissive, to follow. This is spiritual strength. This humble attitude of wanting to serve and to submit oneself is the means by which we can overcome the enemy of egoism and the determined desire to do what we must do under the direction of Guru and Krishna. That determination and that willingness to make the sacrifice of doing what's good, that will conquer lethargy, that terrible enemy of destruction. And it begins by simply rising early every day to attentively hear the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, to refresh our intelligence, to refresh the spiritual direction in our life. Confusion and doubt naturally come into the mind of one who is not hearing the truth every day. So this propaganda we must spread to one another to counteract the propaganda of Maya, which is trying to constantly justify our excuses for being egoistic and lazy spiritually. You must strive. You must say no to Maya. You must have determination. In 1972, at Bahulaban on the hill, Srila Prabhupada was speaking during the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. And a famous question was asked to him. Srila Prabhupada, you're talking about how necessary it is to be determined to hear and chant every day in order to survive spiritually. Guru Maharaj, what if one does not have that determination? And do you know what Srila Prabhupada said in answer? It was a very famous answer. He said, then you are an animal. You have the determination, and a human being uses it and develops it by proper association and proper conduct. You can do it. That is human existence. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, he said, you are animal. You're not worthy of being called a human being. Animals simply follow the dictations of their senses. A human being has that determination and uses it. But that determination must be cultivated and strengthened. How? By feeding it, by nourishing it every day. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you must know this is the number one most essential principle for your spiritual development. And Krishna will see how much you want to be Krishna conscious by how much you're willing to follow this principle. Not mechanically, but attentively. Thank you very much. Yes? By hearing the words of the great saints, by hearing the words of Bhagavatam, that is the surgical operation which removes those bullet wounds or those knife wounds of Maya. But if we just allow them to be there, they will only further infect our condition and worsen. It is a fact, every day we are getting wounds. Therefore, every day we must revitalize our consciousness. We must allow the surgery and the revitalization to take place. Oh, those scars are good. When we look at them, we remember what I have done wrong. Should we do it again? Huh? Otherwise, you forget. Scars are good. Why do you think Krishna makes scars? Even on the material level, when you see a scar, you realize, I have done this, I should not do this anymore. I'll be very conscious now. The reminder. For the scars in our consciousness are reminders. I must be very, very careful. I must be very cautious. I must accept what is favorable for devotional service, reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. And if I'm inattentive, there will be blood. Prabhupada said that this movement is like the razor's edge. By associating with human beings and by doing what human beings do in that association. By hearing, by chanting. But hearing doesn't mean simply to come and listen. It means you must come and listen, but then you must apply what you have heard in your life. That is hearing. But if you do not come and listen, you will not be able to apply anything in your life. We chant the holy name to remove the impurities. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day to replenish our consciousness with proper spiritual direction, but then we must follow that spiritual direction. And in the company of devotees, it becomes natural to accept these principles. That is the perfection of human existence. Yes? But everything Krishna does is perfect and pure. Just like Bhagavad Gita was spoken on a battlefield amongst politicians. Correct? Krishna's Leela of Vrindavan was non-political. Krishna was simply cowherd boy. Huh? When we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear the wonderful stories of Krishna herding the cows and playing with the gopis, and even when he was killing the demons of Vrindavan, he was simply, what to speak of when he was stealing butter and doing all nice things like that in Vrindavan. Completely simple, sublime, divine, unpolitical activities of the spiritual world. But then when he went to Dwarka, he was Dwarkadish, he was king. And at Kurukshetra, he was in Hastinapur first. He was between Yudhisthira and Duryodhana trying to solve the problem of this great conflict. And when he was preaching to Arjuna in Gita, this was political in the sense that he was taking sides with one particular political party against another. But when God is political, it is perfect and complete for everyone's welfare. So Krishna's external apparent feature in Kurukshetra, in Dwarka, is he's acting like a politician for the ultimate good of all living beings. And when he's in Vrindavan, he's acting simply as a simple cowherd's boy for the ultimate benefit of all human beings. But they are both the same, in the sense that whatever he does is completely spiritual, completely pure, and for the ultimate benefit of all living beings, to hear those glories, to hear those teachings. Some people say, we like to hear about Krishna in Vrindavan, but we don't like to hear about him in Kurukshetra and in Dwarka, because there he's political. But this is a material conception. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Krishna is perfect and complete and all-merciful, and he has his divine purpose in everything he does. We cannot discriminate. And other people, they say, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was kind of immoral, but when he's speaking Gita, he's very good. No. If you're going to accept Krishna, you have to accept Krishna as he is. That according to time and circumstance, he is perfectly acting in every situation for the ultimate benefit of all living beings. So this means we must be willing to hear the glories of the Lord, not just one section and not another section, but we should be willing to hear Krishna's political and non-political, his Vrindavan Leela, his Kurukshetra Leela, his Dwarka Leela. We should hear it all every day with a submissive heart. Specifically, it's mentioned here, because this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about various kings. Some were very degraded, envious kings, and some were very, very great, virtuous, pious, and self-realized souls who took the role of kings. This is talking politics. But the purpose and the conclusion of all these stories is to teach by their examples essential lessons for our own spiritual development. It doesn't mean we should become political, because there's mundane politics and there's spiritual politics. Spiritual politics means, as a humble, humble servant of all living beings, you're trying to somehow or other get everyone to become Krishna conscious. Material politics means to try to divide and conquer for some material purpose. That is the number one worst enemy to any spiritual society. It corrupts, pollutes, and confuses everything. It is born of selfish, egoistic desire. Yes? If you are properly hearing and chanting every day, what you will hear is that you are the servant. A servant who understands his or her position as servant is extremely sensitive in his service or her service to the master. And every devotee is our Prabhu, is our master. If we hear this properly, we will not be insensitive. We will strive to be very conscientious, not only to serve, but service means to please. To serve someone means to please that person, either his body, his mind, or his soul. Sometimes when the mother has to chastise her child, she's very sensitive. She's doing that for that child's soul. So in every dealing we have with another devotee, it should be in the mood, I am your servant. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to ultimately please you. And if we do not have that consciousness, that means we are not properly hearing. Hearing and chanting is meant to soften our heart, not harden our heart. When our heart becomes softer than butter, then Krishna will steal it. Yes? Because part of our egoistic conditioning is we want everyone to think and to be according to our conception. We see amongst devotees there is unity in diversity. Devotees have different feelings. Devotees have different natures, different propensities, different ways and means by which they can best express their willingness to serve. May even have different ideas than us. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was here, some devotees were living here at New Vrindavan. We were just milking cows and growing food and trying to build a few things. You go to Chicago or New York, they were on the streets distributing books and distributing more books. And in India, they were making life members, building temples. And practically everyone was thinking, we're the only ones that are serving Prabhupada, everyone else is in Maya. The book distributors were thinking, these people are in Maya, what are they doing for Prabhupada's movement, just milking cows, how are they preaching? And the New Vrindavan devotees were thinking, look at this sense enjoyers just out in these big cities distributing books, and they don't understand the principles of simple living and high thinking. Because they're not associating with cows, they'll never become Krishna conscious. We were all sectarian. And the people in India, we are making like members. We are actually making people devotees. We're building temples in Bharatvarsha. These other people, there might be devotees, but not so much. But actually, Prabhupada saw different propensities. Engage them all. If we have proper vision, oh, yes, this is how you are serving. This is your vision of serving Gurudev. He is engaging you this way. Very nice. You are my master. You are better than me. How can I serve you? Vaikuntha atmosphere means all devotees are better than me. Even if a devotee is having terrible difficulty, our condition to love him and to serve him shouldn't be based on the expectation of how he's doing what I want him to do. Even if that person has fallen, our love and service should be toward him to help pick him up. We shouldn't love another devotee on the basis of our expectations of that devotee. We should love a devotee for whatever he is and try to bring him to the proper platform, if we can, and accept him for what he is and help him if there's some problem. But this conception of divide and conquer, us and them, is disease, which destroys everything. Love and trust means you are what you are. If Gurudev wants you somewhere else, I must accept you for what you are and help bring you there. And if I'm having some difficulty, help me. Yes, we must respect and accept a devotee for what he is or she is and be their servant according to our capacity to help each other to serve the spiritual master.
Thus ends the recording of this class.